have sent. Before I get into the message, I just want to clarify something about that word there, eternal life. We see eternal life as when we die and we go on from here, there's going to be eternal life. You know, once we do things right in God, we're going to live in eternity. And we tend to stop there. But when I looked it up, there's a man called a professor of divinity and biblical criticism, and his name is William Barclay, and he put it this way, and I think it's an awesome way to put it. He describes it like this. Eternal describes the quality of life. God lives endlessly. So in other words, what he's saying is God continuously lives this way. Amen? So it's something for us to understand. We need to know how God lives. He continuously lives this way. And that's what Jesus was saying there. If one truly knows God, he is able to live the way, he's able to live that way as an effect or as a result of his intimate relationship with God. In other words, it's possible to live the way that God lives. Sometimes we find it hard, but it's possible to live the way God lives. And Jesus said, how? If they know you. That's the way. He said, if they know you, it's possible for them to live the way that you live, if they know you. Jesus offered up this prayer. So he placed importance on knowing God, but he also placed importance on knowing him. If you notice in this portion of scripture, he actually mentioned his name, Jesus Christ. He didn't say, Father, that they will know you and know me. He said that they will know you and know Jesus Christ. So I was thinking, well, why did he actually mention his own name? Why did he say to the Father, Jesus Christ? And then I begin to think, you know, have you ever had a conversation with someone and they might have misrepresented you, misunderstood you? The first thing that we refer to ourselves by name. Has anybody done that? I do. If you misunderstood me, if I said something to you, I would go and I would talk to somebody that knows me a little bit better, and I'll say to them, you know what, that person, etc. You know what, they really don't understand me, you know what? And then I'll refer to myself with my whole name. They don't know Carol Jones, you know. They don't know Carol Jones. Sometimes we'll say it with a bit of attitude if we're going to deal. But if we're really serious, we'll say they don't know Carol Jones. And we use the whole of our name to represent that somebody actually doesn't know us. I won't just say Carol. We would actually use the whole of our name to really emphasize what we're talking about. That's the same like Jesus here. He wants you to know Jesus Christ. He wants you to know the whole of him. So if I want you to know the whole of me, I'm going to mention the whole of my name. I want you to know Carol Jones. Not what you think about me, not your preconceived ideas about me. I will be saying, they just don't know Carol Jones. They don't understand Carol Jones. They don't know the way I am. They haven't taken the time to know Carol Jones. They know Carol. They have some idea about what she does, what she say. But all it is just an idea. But they actually don't know Carol Jones. When my mum gave me a name, she pronounced who I am, Carol Jones. And there are things about me that you will need to know in order to know the true me. So it is with Christ. And that's what he was saying here. I really want you to know the whole of who I am. But the only way that you could know that is by having a relationship with me. You will never know someone until you have a personal relationship with them. You can have a superficial relationship with them. You will only basically know a surface thing about them, but you haven't dug deep into them. So you will misrepresent them when you're speaking. If I upset you, for instance, you will probably not say very nice things about me, but what you might not understand is why I said it, because simply you don't know me. You might talk to someone else that does know me. They might give you a better representation of who I am. So it is with Christ. Sometimes we think we know him. We haven't spent the time to get to know him. Then we misrepresent him to somebody who doesn't know him. Take the time to get to know him. Sometimes we have people who... Relationships is something that comes from God, and he expects us to relate. Right? We had, in the beginning, the Bible tells us, that it was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working together in unity. So God's a relational God. He told us that from the beginning, that he's a relational God. Some people could be married all 30 years, 40 years to a spouse and have no clue about them. So my question is, what were they investing in? What was the relationship all about? So it is with Christ. Some of us are there for 30 years, 25, 30, 40 years, yet there's no depth of relationship. That's not what God wants. He wants us to actually have a relationship with him so that we can represent him right on the earth. People are looking to the church to represent Jesus. They're looking at you to represent Jesus. Amen? My mum and dad have been married for 54 years, but I think they've been together some 57 or 8. And they really know each other because they've invested. They know each other so well that mum and dad finishes each other's sentences. Mum gets a bit more irritated, but dad doesn't. But they actually finish each other's sentences. And it's right. That's 54 years of building. Oh, 57 years of building. They built. They got to know each other's bad, good, indifferent, or whatever. But they know it. And what keeps them together is knowing. It's the knowing of one another. It's the fusing together. It's the getting to understand one another. It's the not misrepresenting. My mum could tell you what my dad's likely to do in a situation. If you go to a wedding and my dad's giving a speech, my mum always says this, Lawrence, keep it short, keep it short. Because my mum knows he will go on. It will be a long thing. That's relationship. She doesn't mean it in an insulting way. She means it because she knows he will go on. So she says, just keep it short, keep it short. And he tries. It don't always work. Amen? Jesus prayed this, that they know you, Father, that they take time to spend with you. But on the other hand, I want them to know me, get to know me, who I really am, so that they know you. Amen? Get to know me so that they know you. In John chapter 14, 7 to 11, right? You can read that in your own time, but they can put it up on the screen. The disciples were asking Jesus, they kept asking Jesus to show them the Father. Show us the Father and it will be enough for us. Show us the Father. And Jesus said this, if you had known me, you would know my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father. He stressed the importance of getting to know him. You cannot, irrespective of what other religions say, you cannot know God outside of Jesus. You can't. Whether you're Muslim, wherever you come from, you cannot know God outside of Jesus. You will know a God with a small g, but you will not know the Father outside of Jesus. Because Jesus said in John 14 and 5, I am the way. When he said, I am the way, he says, I'm the means, I'm the method, I am the system. A system is something we follow. A family is a system. So what God, Jesus was saying is, I'm the system. I am the very source. I am the kingdom. I am. When God said, I am, Jesus is saying the same thing, I am. Then he said, I am the truth. I am the reality. Reality of your life, reality of life. I am the exactness of God. That's what he was saying to his disciples. And then he says, and the life. I am the very existence. I am the existence of God. I am the existence of everything. So I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am everything. Yeah? That is who I am. And that's what he was saying to the church. That's what he's saying to the world. The church is just a representation of who he is. It's the church that needs to show. It's you getting your relationship right with God so that you can live like him. Just as Jesus prayed this prayer. That was a prayer in John 17 that Jesus prayed for himself. So when he prayed for himself, he prayed about you. Yeah. Later on in the scripture, you will see he prayed for his disciples and he prayed for all believers. But still, when he was praying about himself, he stepped out of himself and he was still thinking about you and your relationship with him. And not only you, more people to come. So it's frightfully important that we start to cultivate our relationship with God. Or else we will misrepresent him. And And sometimes we look at it and the church has misrepresented him. They don't know who he is because they haven't taken the time to know who he is. We need to work, know the world to know who he is. Yeah? Jesus said in Isaiah 54 and 5, he made a statement that really tells us what relationship means to him. He said, "For your maker is your husband." Husband is part of a family. In fact, husband is normally the head of a family. A family, a place where relationships are forged or supposed to be forged. Yeah? That's the place that God has placed you in so that relationships can be communicated. Relationships, love relationship could be built upon. That you will have an idea in your family about who he is. Yeah? You're supposed to make it right. No matter what goes on in your family, if you are born of God, you make it right in your family. You represent him by knowing him. Once you know him this way, it will go out that way. It is important that you know God. Sometimes it seems like the spirit of this generation of believers has reverted back to the children of Israel. They have a dependency on the man, woman of God. And they choose, and sometimes we can choose to keep our distance from God. And we go to the pastors for everything. We wait on a Sunday when it's being preached. And that is our relationship. In Exodus chapter 15, 16 and 17, they had a dependency on Moses, the man of God. Now, if you notice, the children of Israel did this because they didn't have a relationship with God themselves. They knew of God, but they just didn't have a relationship with him. They kept running to the man of God. They went to Moses with their complaints, needs, wants, fears, greed, healing, etc., etc. They complained, they murmured, they grumbled and moaned. Does that sound familiar? They grumbled and moaned against the pastors. And that's what happens. They grumbled about Moses because he weren't meeting their daily needs. And sometimes we can get in the habit of, if the pastors ain't meeting your daily needs. My Bible tells me that the veil was opened so that you can access God for yourselves. Right? It's not the pastor's job to keep accessing God for you. You need to know him. The veil was not torn in two for just the pastor to enter in. It used to be like that. The priest used to go behind there and know God for you and sacrifice all your sins. We don't do that no more. Right? The veil was broken, so you go in for yourself. Get to know God for yourself. Enter in. It says enter in behind the veil where you can give your woes, your complaints, your needs, your fears, your greed, your healing, etc., etc. Don't keep coming to your pastors because we'll end up like Moses where all your burdens will be on one man. That's what God said. God can take your burdens. The Bible says, cast your cares onto him. Don't cast it on your pastors because when they let you down, and they will, that shows where your dependency is. Your dependency is on a relationship with God. You're supposed to have a relationship with your pastors, but ultimately your relationship is supposed to be on God. Listen, it was God that brought them out of Egypt. It was God that brought you guys here, not us. It was God, it was not your pastors. So if God brought you here, God will do all these things. So when we get disappointed in the pastors because they didn't meet our needs, we forgot that they no longer go behind the veil for us. We get in there ourselves. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Truth be known, we won't go to seek God for ourselves. But we will readily go out and seek the man of woman of God to do it instead. We'll go, we'll complain to them about this person and that person. But if you truly know God, you would not complain about that person. You will get into the presence of God on your knees and pray for that person. Because you know just as much as God loves you, he loves them also. He wants them to come into a relationship with him. Yeah? As much as he wants you. Some of us, because our relationship is not solid with God, we come week after week just to hear what the preacher's going to preach so we can know God just a little bit more. But what will happen if one day you came, and I believe it happened in here before, not so long ago, when the Holy Spirit decides to say, we ain't going to have a preach today. The worship team is just going to bang us all the way through to the end. How many of us would leave here disappointed? Because what we came for, to be fed by God, weren't happening. God is saying there is, you should have a relationship with me anyway. So when I require total worship, just pure you, just giving yourself to me, you don't need to hear a preaching to pump you up for the week. Your worship, your relationship with me is what will be doing it. So when you come and all it is worship, and the man of God or the woman of God is not going to give you the word, you're satisfied anyway because you've got God. You've got a relationship with God, so you're satisfied. In the Old Testament, 2 Samuel chapter 4 and 7 and 4. Yeah? 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 4. That's about David and Nathan the prophet. And what I noticed in that scripture when I was reading it is, the man of God spoke to David something that God has spoken to the prophet Nathan to speak to David. Right? So the prophet Nathan went and he gave David the message. But what happened in verse 18, David didn't just rely on getting the word from the man of God. He didn't just leave it there. In verse 18, David sat down before the Lord and he began a conversation. We call it prayer today. There was a dialogue going on. David knew God for himself, even though there was a man of God representing. He still knew God for himself. He knew he could go to Nathan, could you just beseech God for me? But David said, no, there's something more. I've got to have this relationship. I've got to keep this relationship going. Yes, Nathan the prophet spoke something to me concerning God, but I'm going to go to God. Then in Isaiah chapter 38 and 2, we see another story here. This is telling us the importance of a relationship with God. This one more than anything. King Hezekiah and Isaiah. Isaiah was the man of God of that time. Amen? Hezekiah was sick unto death. So Isaiah had to bring this to him and said, you know, thus saith the Lord, this sickness that you have is unto death. Yeah? I'm paraphrasing, but that's more. So Isaiah brought this news. But Hezekiah decided, you know what? Can't take that. You received it. It's from the man of God. It's likely to be true. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get into the presence of God myself. So Hezekiah got into the presence of God himself. He decided to cultivate his relationship and say, God, give me 15 more years. And guess what happens in relationship with God? He changed his mind. Watch this. The man of God, Isaiah, told him something from God. Hezekiah got into the presence of God for himself, cultivated his relationship, and God added 15 more years to his life. Could you see the importance of a relationship with God yourself? We can be up here preaching anything to you. Get into the presence of God. Yeah? The man of God, Isaiah, said it's unto death. You're gonna die, Hezekiah. That's what he said. You're gonna die. Hezekiah said, whoa, I'm going to have to change God's mind there. And sometimes we think we can't, when God says something, it's set in stone. Yes, it is. But guess what this shows us? I can change my mind at times. Huh? I'm God. And this man's heart was right before me. He got into my presence. He cultivated the relationship. And he asked me for something. So I gave it to him. 15 more years was added to his life. The relationship with God is so, so important. And you can't always rely on your leaders or your pastors to do it. It's like relationship lines. We have relationship lines, don't we? I don't know what they're called on the TV where you can, somebody phone you, go to this date line and they find you an online partner. Then you get on the date line and they match you up with somebody and they say that... Yeah, based on everything that you've written down here, yeah, we'll match you up with such. You know that we treat the pastors like that? It's like seeing somebody you like in church. Males, it's like you've seen a female. Females, it's like you've seen a male, yeah? In this politically correct thing, that's probably dangerous for me to say. But we're in church where the truth is preached, amen? And it's like, this is how we treat Jesus. It's like, you go to your pastors and you say, yeah, I'm really interested in that person there. And then you want your pastors to go on a date with that person. Yeah? Then your pastors get to know that person that you're interested in. Yeah, we go date them, wine and dine them, take them out for dinner. And we say, talk to them, get to know something about them, really get to know them, know their likes and their dislikes, what makes them sad, what makes them happy. And then we come back to you and we report to you about that person. Amen? Do you get where I'm going with this? That's your love interest, but we're here preaching it. The pastors are here preaching your love interest, telling you about your love interest, because you don't know your love interest. So you want the pastor to go and find out about this love interest of yours so that you can marry them. So that you can marry them. And based on what your pastor has said to you, so the pastors will come back to you, yeah, you know what, Yvette, that brother there, yeah, he's all right, you know, because you're in front. It's like when you're comedies, and the comedy people always pick on the front people in it. Yvette, but that brother that you're interested in is really, yeah, he's quite nice, you know, I know a bit about him. He's got something in common with me. Yeah, he's really all right, you know, he's well-mannered, he comes from a good background, he doesn't like this, he don't like to eat that, he doesn't like to know that. So you know what, it's all right for you to get to know him. And then Yvette, based on the pastor's word, gets to marry this guy. So, based on the pastor's word. So she marries this guy. A couple of weeks later into the marriage, after honeymoon's period is gone, she finds, I don't know you. I don't know nothing about you. Pastor said you're nice. Pastor said that you're well-mannered. Pastor said he thinks that you will treat me right. But you're nothing. Like what he described. But I married you. I entered into a covenant relationship with you. And I know nothing about you. That's how we treat Jesus sometimes. You know nothing about him. You want to cultivate a relationship with him. He doesn't meet your needs in certain areas because he knows you better than you. And then you're upset with him and you might leave church. Offended at the pastor because he preached something that didn't happen in your life because you didn't, like Hezekiah, change the circumstance. So who gets upset? You do. You leave the church. I'm not going to that prayer meeting. Don't like that pastor. He said that he was all right, but he ain't all right. You're supposed to get to know him for yourself. It's your responsibility. Jesus prayed that prayer to get to know your love interest. Jesus is your love interest. He is your husband. You are supposed to get to know him yourself. Don't rely on just what's coming from here. This is just an added extra, letting you know about who you love. That's all we're doing. We're adding on what you already know about him. We're just getting, the Holy Spirit is just with us, and he's opening up things. So we're up here just to minister that to remind you of who he is, to remind you corporately of something you should already know. Can somebody say amen? In John chapter 4 and verse 7, there was a Samaritan woman. And she met Jesus at the well, and he was telling her all about herself. And she went around the town, and she's the city, and she told everybody I met this man. You know, he told me all about myself, etc., etc. And they believed on her testimony at that time. But later on, down in verse 39 to 42, the Bible reads, they no longer held on to her testimony. They sought him out for themselves. They no longer, her testimony was good, right? What we preach up here is good, right? What we preach up here is good. But don't hold on to our testimony. Get one for yourself. Can somebody say amen? Amen just means that you agree. Acts 17, the Bereans searched things out for themselves. They were being told things. They thought, you know what, we're hearing all these things, sounds all good and that. This Jesus sounds all right and that. Let me go and check him out for myself. Let me build a personal relationship for myself. Let me find out if what they're saying about him is true for myself. Let me see if he will do this for me for myself. Let me read his word. Let it come alive to me for myself. Everything that they're saying For myself. For myself. Let me see. I don't know. I didn't like what Pastor said last week. It kind of convicted me a bit. You know what I mean? I feel a bit bad. You know what I mean? And that. Check it out. If he's given you a scripture for it, check it out. Let me tell you something. Sometimes when you're in a relationship with someone, and this happens with parents and their kids, you use the word N-O. No. No, you can't have it. Not yet. No, you can't date at 13. Wait till you're 30. Dads and their daughters. Wait till you're 30 before you date. Sometimes it's no. And if you get to know God, you're going to get some no's. So when the minister's up here saying, boy, some of you need to go and read the book of Lamentations. It will make you lament. Yeah? It will make you lament. Yeah? I remember reading it. By the time I finished it, oh my God. Yeah? But it shows you something about God. We have this airy fairy. Because we don't have a relationship, it's just like what I said earlier about dating somebody. You know, when you're dating someone, it's an airy fairy thing. The real person not come out yet. Let me tell you, the real person. So you date for a little while because we can only keep ourselves for so long. Amen. The true you will come out. It's the same. The true Jesus will come out. But you will never be disappointed. The true you, when it comes out, you will be disappointed. Trust me, you will be disappointed. But the true Jesus, when it comes out, guess what? You will love him more. You may not love me more when the true me come out, hallelujah. But you will love him more because he never disappoints. He never disappoints. He knows you better than you know yourself. Sometimes there's going to be no's. Sometimes there's going to be wait. That's called relationship, right? And once you know that, you won't go to God, oh, you've made me wait all these years and that. We know, we saw Abraham's wife, Sarah, she waited forever to have a baby, but it happened. It happened. If you know God, you know what? Moses led them out when he's 80. You'll know that. But God spoke to me when I was 40, man. You mean you have to wait 40 years? If you know God, you'll be happy to wait the 40 years. Right? We just live in a microwave society where relationships are, they mean nothing today. But God's saying, I'm a God of relationship. It means something to me. Let's not think about how the world sees relationships. Let's think about how God sees relationships. Let's not buy into what they think a relationship is. Two men cannot rent a family. There's no, God never had two husbands to be daddy and daddy in a household. He has a standard. He has a principle. And he says, by the way that I said it to be, it's going to work. We don't want messed up children with two dads and two mums. They will be messed up. Trust me. They'll be messed up in their heads. God's saying, I did it this way. I made relationship. I told you right at the beginning, I put Adam there, and then I put a wife next to him, and then they went on to have children. This is the way that I want a relationship to be. And then this family will become a bigger family, and then one day I'm going to send my son, Jesus Christ, and he's going to make an even bigger family because he's going to bring a church together, a system of the kingdom of God, and I'm going to bring families together of people that didn't even know one another, but I'm going to bring them together and expect them to become a family. Expect them to accept one another. I expect this to happen. We may not be blood related, but the precious blood of Jesus is what connects us. We're supposed to love each other the way that God loves us. The Bible tells us, love each other as I have loved you. But they're not my blood kin. Yes, they are. A perfect blood is what bonds us together. A perfect blood runs through the veins of the church. Can somebody say amen? So I've been banging on today about the church and the pastors and the expectations. So let's look at the role of the pastor. Ephesians chapter 4 and 11. Can that go up on the screen, please? Because everybody needs to see this. It clearly states, it talks about the fivefold ministry. And it clearly states that the pastor's role is not to just go hear all your grumbles and your moans and your complaints and your greed and your everything else, and you don't like this person, you don't like what he was preaching. It doesn't say none of that. It doesn't say your personal woes. It says that he's there or she's there for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for edifying the body of Christ. So in other words, oh, hold on, verse 13, right? Ephesians 4, verse 13 says, till we all come into a oneness, into a family of the faith and of the knowledge of God. We see that word knowledge again. Yeah? So that is your pastor's role. Your pastor's role is not for you to be at him or her every day. I don't like what you do. I don't know. That's not it. We're there to, the pastors are there to edify, to equip. Equip you. What is equipping? What is equipping? It's preparing and training the saints. It's preparing and training you for yourself. It's giving you information so that you can take that information, take dog's tools, and cultivate your relationship with God. Edifying is information, it is educating, and it's enlightening. All your pastors do with the help of the Holy Spirit is to open up the scriptures, open up Jesus, to let you just see him a little bit more. The grace is on your pastors to do that, because they study for a long time. And when you study for a long time and you're in the presence of God, he begins to download these things that he wants us to tell you. Okay? They may be things that you didn't see. They may be things that you did see. So all it is, we come together as a family, just like a dad, if you grew with a dad and you sat at the table in our house back then, dad would say grace. Your dad would say grace. So that's your pastor's job, equipping and edifying. Knowledge is not just about learning. Knowledge, it's got the word know in it. It's about knowing. Eh? Knowledge is about knowing. The word knowledge just means to get acquainted with. Are we acquainted with Jesus? Or do we stand up here enlightening, equipping, and nothing happens with it? The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 and 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We ain't gonna be there with you. I ain't gonna be standing next to you for you to say, yeah, but Pastor said, yeah, this is the throne of God. Yeah, but Pastor said, yeah, but God, Pastor said, we ain't there. You can't turn around and blame anybody. You're going on your own to talk about your relationship with him. You can't go to God and grumble about anything. It's about your relationship with God. Yeah? We all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. It is going to be a sad affair, according to Luke 13, 24, 28. If Jesus turned around and said, I didn't know you, you worker of iniquity. We want us, to be ready for Jesus to say what he said in Luke 19 and 17. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter in. That's what we're looking for. But if we don't have a relationship with God, none of that's going to happen. Remember earlier I said relationship is about knowing how God lives. God lives like that endlessly. Jesus said it in his prayer, John chapter 17. He said, this is how I came on earth to show you how God lives. You can't go past me to directly go to God and find out about him. I came to show you who he is. Everything I demonstrated, everything I said, everything that I commanded, everything that I done, every single time I woke up, every time I prayed, every time I went into the presence, even in my anguish when I had to go to the cross for you, I was showing you what God's like. I was showing you this is what Father's like. When you see God, you see me. The Father and I are one, is what Jesus said. You can't bypass him. Oh, well, you know, some religions say that, you know, go straight to God. Jesus said, ain't happening. Look at me. Look to me. When we pray in Jesus' name. Look to me. Look to me. He said, look to me to fulfill all your needs. Because when I fulfill all your needs, God is fulfilling all your needs. Saints, a relationship with God will move your life to another level. A relationship with God will show you things you've never seen before. A relationship with God will make you get on with one another. The Bible says, Jesus said, let's not say the Bible, Jesus said, forgive. One of the hardest things in the human race is forgiveness. But he said, forgive. So if you have connected and you have the right relationship, do you know it won't be that hard to forgive? It just shows us that when we can't forgive, you know where the root is, don't you? Get into a relationship with God. It will be easier for you to forgive. If you're convicted today, I'll say it again. Get into a relationship with God so that you can forgive. Jesus went to the cross to forgive you. So who are you not to forgive somebody else? Okay? It's called a relationship with God. It's called fusing this way. Jesus was battered, bruised, despised, everything for you. And we just don't want to have a little wound. A little wound, we enter into unforgiveness. A little wound. That's not a relationship with God. He didn't go to the cross for that purpose. He went to the cross so that we can understand what forgiveness is, that we can understand what relationship is, that we will go that extra mile for one another, that we will forgive one another, that we will cultivate our relationship this way so that it will go that way. It's really important that we understand that relationship with God. That's what he wants. That's what he always wanted. He wanted it with Adam and Eve. They messed up. He sent Jesus. He says, you know what? They messed up then, but that's gone. Old Testament is gone. He said, here's the New Testament. I'm coming back to it. I'm going all the way around. We read all the books in the Old Testament there. He's come back to the New Testament. And he says, you know what? All those things have passed. I'm coming to the now. I'm coming to the now. I expect you to have a relationship with me, because when you have a relationship with me in the New Testament, you will understand the God of the Old Testament. Yeah? Cultivate your relationship one with another. Yeah? We can't just go on how we have been. We can't keep going on dismissing all that Jesus has done. We've got to get into the Word of God and understand what God wants for us. We've got to understand the unity that God wants for us. Understand what he's saying here. We need to personally know him for ourselves. In John chapter 4, verse 4 and 7, the Samaritan woman met Jesus at the well and told the whole city her testimony. Her relationship, yeah. But further down in the scriptures, they no longer held on to hers. It weren't about her testimony anymore. Yeah? It was not about her testimony anymore. That's what we do to God. We attend church week after week to find out about our love interest through the eyes of a minister. But we refuse to get to know him personally for ourselves. Christ is the bridegroom. You are the bride. He wants his bride to know him. He wants you to search him out. He wants you to know him. He wants you to have a dependency on him. That is your responsibility. Yeah? Your responsibility is to cultivate your relationship with God. Get to know who he really is. Stop all the excuses. Stop putting your own versions on things. Get into the Word of God and understand his version of things. We're really good at giving our version of things, what we think that it says. We tend to just describe it in our way. But when you get into the Word of God, you find that everything that you believe it to be isn't true. Because you haven't really cultivated your relationship with God. Your personal relationship. It's personal. We're good at telling somebody else what they ought to do. But what about your personal relationship. If God tells you to forgive, you forgive. That's his relationship with you. God wants you to have an understanding of who he is. He wants you to cultivate that personal relationship with him, where he's encouraging us to personalize our relationship. Take responsibility. Understand what God wants for you. Understand the role of your pastors. Your pastors are not here for you to beat up on them or when you don't understand something. Listen, this book has been out for a really long time. This book has, and if you start reading it, guess who will help you? The Holy Spirit. Whenever you blame your pastors or anything, I don't know where I'm going with this, because the Holy Spirit wants somebody to hear this. Whenever you blame your pastors for anything, that means you're not reading this. When you don't have understanding, that's all it tells us. You don't have a clue. So my encouragement to you today is get into the Word of God. Cultivate your personal relationship with God. Get to understand what the Scriptures is saying for your own lives. Don't just rely on what we do up here. It's not enough. It's not enough. Get to know the personal God for yourself. Understand what he means. Oh, Pastor, but I find it so hard to forgive. Get into the Word of God and you'll find out why you forgive. When you go to the cross of Jesus Christ and you see what happened to him, it ain't gonna be hard for you to forgive. Cultivate your personal relationship with God. It's one-on-one. Trust me, it's one-on-one. It's you and him. If you're upset with someone, it's you and him. Take it there. Sometimes we just find it is a good excuse to go and tell that person what we feel. Stop. Take it there. He will give you more understanding. He will help you to know exactly. Cultivate your relationship with him and you will accept everything. He accepted your woes when he went to the cross. It's a love relationship. He's encouraging us together to have a love relationship. And finally, God is stretching out his arms this afternoon to receive you personally in his arms. He eagerly desires a personal relationship with you. He wants you to know him. The Scriptures reveal that. We belong to a loving God. 1 John 4:8 says God is love. Love only happens in relationship. If you don't have relationship, you can't love. You can't just meet someone and date site and marry them next week. You're heading for a divorce. You don't know them. You don't understand them. You haven't cultivated a relationship. And I fear that sometimes that's what we do with God. We have no clue about Jesus Christ. So we can't cultivate a relationship. So we make up these things in our mind about what he's like. We look to the Old Testament, vengeance is mine and I will repay. Not let me love past this. You don't know, Pastor Carol, these people done me wrong. Love past it. The cross experience that Jesus had was not for nothing. It was so all these things could come together so that he can encourage us to have a personal relationship with him. And when we have a personal relationship with him, we will begin to understand what he wants us to do and how he wants us to live. He called a church out for this very purpose. And sometimes it looks like the church are the worst people to forgive. Yet they're supposed to be the people, the epitome of forgiveness. They're supposed to be the ones that are, we're supposed to, not there, let me not put it on you, we're supposed to be the ones that extend our arms out to show who Christ is. But it comes through cultivating your relationship with him. It comes from cultivating. I want us to stand this morning. And if we have a skewed idea, a warped idea about who God is, who Jesus Christ is, I want us today personally to ask Jesus to reveal himself to us based on a loving relationship that he has with us. Ask him today to reveal himself to you. Today is the day to give him all your woes, everything that you don't know, everything that you don't understand, things that may be bothering you. Give it to him today. Cultivate that personal relationship with him. Get to know the God of the scriptures. Get to know Jesus Christ. And you can only know the God of the scriptures through the word of God. Not through you just reading any old book. This book is a life book. This book will challenge you. This book will change your mind. This book will convict you because it is the expressed word of God. When the Bible tells you to forgive, it's the expressed word of God. It is the Bible is the expression of God in your life. There's nothing in it that you should live by. Everything Jesus came to show you is what we have to live by. So today I want you just to lift your arms up in sweet surrender. Lifting up your arms says, I surrender. I surrender every hurt, every pain, just to have a relationship, the right relationship with you, Jesus. I want to know you personally. I want to know what you think about things. I promise to get into your word so that I could get to know you through your word. I promise to spend daily time getting to know you more, getting to understand you. Father, I'm sorry for what I made it. Father, we're sorry for making it all about us, all about what we think, all about what we've interpreted. Your word is truth, oh Lord. And you want us to have a personal relationship with you. So today we make up in our minds that we're going to give you our all, oh God. We're going to be like the Bereans and we're going to search out the scriptures until we find you. Until we understand the truth of your word. We are going to cultivate a relationship with you, oh God. Because we want to know you more. We want to fuse together as a family, just as you had ordained, oh God. That is your desire for our lives. Every woe that we have, my God, we're going to put it down today at your throne, at your feet. We are going to seek you today, God, to have understanding more about you, your will, your way, your purpose. We promise today, oh God, to build a relationship with you so that we can get to know the God of the Bible and the Jesus of the New Testament. Father, we have made a decision today. We're going to lay down all our preconceived ideas. How we have formed relationships in our mind. Whether it came through our families. Whether it came how we were raised. Today, Lord God, we're going to put it down. And we're going to look for your scriptures. We're going to be like the Bereans, where we're going to search out your scriptures to find out what we ought to be like and how we ought to live. Today is the day, oh God, that we have made the decision that we're going to lay down every thought, that we're going to